What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Kane said he's going to win the slam dunk in Vegas competition. And quote, I will win and go see Wayne Newton.
Is he still performing? I know he had some ill health. I think it was last year.
I believe they've animated a wax statue of Wayne Newton. And you can go see that.
Why do that when you can just do a hologram? But, you know.
So that it's a more authentic experience.
Oh, okay.
You know? What competition are you talking about, Rob? What do you mean? Slam Dunk in Vegas competition brought to you by the Fan Upstate and Odyssey. Well, what I mean is that right now, if you go get the Odyssey app, A-U-D-A-C-Y, it is free. And if you register on the Odyssey app, also free. And if you go to the Fan Upstate page on the Odyssey app, also free. And if you listen to 60 minutes of the Fan Upstate for free, then you are, for free, automatically entered in our Slam Dunk in Vegas competition. One lucky winner is going to score round-trip airfare and accommodations for four in Las Vegas, plus $20,000. 5K for each of the four of you. 20,000 smackaroonies. While you head out to Vegas and enjoy the first two rounds of the college basketball championships, you will stay at the Circa Resort and Casino Las Vegas. You will enjoy their premium sports viewing and visit the biggest March hoops party at Stadium Swim. It is a national contest. But you can enter, my dear friend. Go to the Odyssey app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it, register, faux free. Go to the Fan Upstate page, listen for 60 minutes, and you are automatically entered into the competition. Good luck. I'm pulling for you.
I was trying to look at who was in residence right now as far as singers go in Vegas during that time. Looks like Shania Twain.
Would.
Yeah.
Go see her, obviously.
Rod Stewart. I mean, I guess.
If you're taking your mom.
It's in March. Barry Manilow. I mean, can't go wrong with
your
Barry
mom's going to be really excited by this trip.
And your dad, maybe.
Is Yanni playing, too? We could just knock them all out in one go.
I don't know if he's there. I think Mariah Carey was there and probably still is. You can't see the Osmonds. I think they went to Branson.
Is Celine still out there?
Maybe. She has that problem.
Yeah, but she's singing again. She sang at the Olympics last year. She sang
Black Eyed Peas would be there, but not till May. So
I'm all right. I'm good.
You want to go see some Fergie?
I'll tell you what. I don't know if it's still on, but the Cirque du Soleil Beatles show is incredible. It's incredible. It's one of the most. I don't even know what word I want to use here.
Is it better when you win this contest to go see a concert while you're in Vegas? Does it
Is
the concert better in Vegas?
Listen, you know I'm a gambler. You know I like some sports gambling. I would 100% if I won, which I can't, but you can go to the Odyssey app, listen to the Fan Upstate for 60 minutes on the Odyssey app for your chance to win this incredible competition. But if I won, I'll tell you right now, I'm a sports gambling fan. I would be taking a part of that dinero, and I would be headed over to the BetMGM to drop a few K on a couple of games and have a little fun with my 5K. However, the majority of that money would be going to shows. Shows in Vegas are just next level. If you haven't been, I don't know how to describe it. To say they go all out is an understatement.
So this is about venue and just the atmosphere, just all that kind of stuff?
It's about venue. First off, it's like, it's Vegas. Shows are what they do, right? It's kind of like saying, oh, I'm going to go see a play versus, oh, I'm going to go see a play on Broadway.
Here's what I hope. I hope that someone tunes into the Odyssey app for an hour and is eligible for this contest, and they get to go to Vegas and they've never been, because that would be awesome. Send someone there, because since I've never been, I think it would be awesome to go there for your very first experience and not have to pay for it.
Yep.
That makes it even better.
Big fan of that. Free round trip, airfare, free accommodations while you're there at the Circa. By the way, Stadium Swim, that's where when Deck goes out there to do his shows, that's where he goes. He goes to Stadium Swim. He absolutely loves the place.
Okay, what is it? I mean, it's just a gigantic
outdoor pool.
Oh, okay.
With restaurants and bars all the way around it. And so when I tell you that they have a football-sized wraparound outdoor television, like a football field-sized TV, and they put every sporting event from the world.
I was going to say, it doesn't show just one thing.
No.
So. Okay, all right.
Every sporting event that is happening anywhere on planet Earth with a camera pointed at it ends up on this screen.
Just asking for myself, do they allow fat people in there?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just curious.
Yeah. 100%. You're going to be outnumbered. We're going to be outnumbered. But, yeah.
Because I've seen Cody Decker, and he still appears to be in pretty good shape.
Deck's jacked.
So if everyone looks like him in the pool, probably not going to, you know.
Here's the other thing I can say about Vegas. I've been there precisely and exactly one time, but I will tell you this. This is one of those situations that you go, no one thinks about you as much as you think that they think about you, right? Like I tell you, every time I got to get up there and do something on a mic or whatever in front of a big crowd, that is honestly, that's the last thing I remind myself before I go up. I'm like, oh, I don't want to embarrass myself. The last thing I tell myself is no one here is going to think about you more than you think about you. No one here is going to care. You can go out there and screw up. They're going to laugh for a minute or two, and then they're going to forget that any of this ever happened. Don't worry about it.
I'm glad that convinces you, because it does not work for me.
It should. It should.
Because I'm going to mess up in a way that's so memorable they'll tell their grandchildren about
Mm-mm.
it. So, yeah.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. All right, let's get some stuff in here. Troy Aikman's been making the rounds. We talked about Troy Aikman earlier
in the week. I'm about to recuse myself.
Troy Aikman got asked, after your comments during the Chiefs-Bills AFC title game, after your comments after that game, you have kind of walked back a little bit some of the things that you have to say. He was on the CBS NFL podcast and was asked, did the NFL tell you to back off? Honestly, I have no issues with that.
Hey, Troy Lonzo from the Fan Upstate award-winning program, The Rob Brown Show. How much money did you lose on that game?
I his point.
The stumbling
is
part
correct.
You did at the beginning is exactly what he would have done if someone asked him that question. Then I would have been escorted out of the building.
I think as a gambler.
You ain't protecting the shield, you're protecting yourself. I mean, whatever, dude.
As a gambler, I think he's right. If I have money on a game, I expect the win or the loss of that bet to be dictated solely by the players. That's what I'm gambling on. I'm not gambling on will there be a call that impacts this side or total or over or prop. I am betting on will I get it right with what the players do on the football field. If Troy wasn't Troy, if I would have had this exact same take on Monday, it would have been a good take.
So Rob, after the show, put your fandom aside and everything aside and listen closely to how he goes. I never take directive from the NFL. No. It was all me. Yeah.
Okay. So next time that you or I through an answer,
dude,
I'm allowed to assume nefarious purposes.
Of course, because you're a robot and I'm a shield for management. So I mean, there's that. But he was not convicted. There was no conviction in how he was speaking. And you could say it has to do with the venue where he was, the fact that he was on a podcast and maybe more casual. Don't believe it for a second. Don't trust his tone. I don't believe it. They didn't tell him to back off a little bit. I believe he absolutely did. And if you don't believe it, then you absolutely believe that Schefter breaks all those things on his own.
Connecting some dots there. Adam Benjamin, at one point, was the tight ends coach at Arizona State University. He was actually the youngest positions coach in major college football. He is now doing his own podcast and YouTube channel because sometimes sports broadcasters just like to play the hits. Just roll on with the things that get the virality on the internet. He had this take.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so a couple of things. Number one, I don't know a heck of a lot about Adam Benjamin as a broadcaster. All right, I don't. I will tell you this. I came across two or three of his clips yesterday. I liked what I heard. All right, I liked what I heard. He seems like a pretty even-keeled, level-headed dude. Here's what he's missing. He gave the reason that his fix can't happen in his reason for why this fix needs to happen. Historically speaking, once people gain power, very few of them are willing to give it back. Historically, once entities, not people, but like organizations gain power, they are usually bloodthirsty to keep it. They are usually willing to do a lot to keep it. Adam Benjamin, may have a wonderful idea. And let's not pretend that having a college football commissioner is like a new concept. It's not. It's been a discussion that's been going on for a while this offseason. We had an entire discussion about if there was going to be a commissioner, who should it be? And the consensus is Nick Saban, right? But who should it be? Here's the problem. The problem is all of the power in college football right now is centered around Hoopst. Quite literally, two people. He named one of them in his hypothesis there. Greg Sankey, commissioner of the Southeastern Conference. The other is Tony Petitti, the commissioner of the Big Ten. Those guys, at this point, are getting just about everything that they want. Those guys are getting right now just about everything they want. We are going to, next season, we are going to not just change the format of the college football playoffs. We're going to change it in a way that it benefits the SEC and the Big Ten more than anybody else. We're just going to give those conferences extra guaranteed spots in the playoff. You just get them. Y'all get more guaranteed spots than everyone else in college football combined. I agree with Adam Benjamin. College football could absolutely do with a commissioner like Roger Goodell in the NFL, Rob Manfred in Major League Baseball. It could absolutely be helped by a commissioner. Here's the problem. In order for there to be a commissioner, control of football would have to be ceded to the commissioner's office by the Big Ten. Power in college football would have to be ceded to the commissioner's office by the Southeastern Conference. And honestly, do you think when they're at a point now where they're going to be able to, next March, roll up into a hotel room in Dallas, Texas, and say to the commissioners of every other conference in football, yeah, we would like to restructure the playoffs in a way that we both get an extra handful of guaranteed playoff spots no matter what. And those other conferences are going to say yes. You think Tony Petitti's willingly giving that power away? You think Greg Sankey is willing? When they have the power to tell college football at large, this is what is going to happen moving forward. Do you think, even if it was Nick Damn Saban himself, that if the rest of the college football landscape said, hey, we would like to make Nick Saban our college football commissioner, he is in charge of everything, you think Greg Sankey and Tony Petitti are going to be like, oh, yeah, sure. Here you go, Nick. Here's the keys. You do whatever you want. You make whatever changes you want. No, of course they're not going to do that. I'm good with Adam Benjamin's take here. It's just that it's a non-starter because the two conference commissioners, one that he mentioned by name in Greg Sankey, they have all the power. And again, institutions that have fought to earn power, historically not big on giving it back, traditionally speaking. All right, I got a few more bites I want to play for you when we come back. Some more thoughts on the Luka Doncic trade. Couple of folks out there in the media talking about Patrick Mahomes. Roger Goodell has weighed in on first down tech in the NFL. And a wrestler goes into the Waffle House v. IHOP debate. All that more coming up on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show continues. It's the Fan Upstate. Rolling through the audio blitz, some of the best audio we've picked up over the past couple of days. Evan Roberts is a host on WFAN, the biggest sports talker in New York, and a brother station on the Odyssey Network. He was trying to explain to some non-basketball folks why it is that this Luka Doncic trade that went down after midnight, Saturday night into Sunday morning, was such a major shock to the NBA world. So I don't mind this take. And many of you who are having this feeling, you now understand what it has almost become a running gag that's not a gag on this show from me for the past couple of years. I hate the first 3 weeks in the NBA's offseason. And I don't hate it because it's offseason. I don't hate it because there's no more basketball on my TV. I hate it because inevitably every time the New Orleans Pelicans finally get a good player, every time they finally get a good player, the minute the season ends, oftentimes before it, I start hearing the talking heads start to scream on TV about how that one good player, Anthony Davis, Brandon Ingram, Zion Williamson, whoever, that one player should go to New York. That one player should go to LA. That one player should go to a big market team. Don't mess around with those bunch of nobodies down in New Orleans. And while they're right, it still hurts okay? While it sucks, it still hurts a little bit. Evan Roberts is saying here, why is it a shock to see that a team in the LA Lakers that is always, at least it feels like, a destination for anybody who breaks out in the league? Why is it that they not only got a 25-year-old Luka Doncic, but they got him for Anthony Data Davis and one first-round pick? How did this work out this way? It is a situation that almost unanimously, although I have found a couple of dissenters in the last couple of days, and I can't tell if they're being genuine or if they're hot take artists, but almost unanimously, the basketball world believes that the Lakers won this trade. They get a 25-year-old generational superstar. Even if he has issues, right? Even if he has problems. Here's a clip to kind of explain it. On the Bill Simmons pod, Bill's a big Celtics guy, big NBA guy. He had Ryan Russillo on, and they were talking about Luka Doncic. Yeah, that's the feeling. I don't care if this guy is fat. I don't care if he's got bad eating habits. He is still one of the best players in the league. Has dragged you to an NBA Finals with Kyrie Irving. I don't care if the man's drinking a 40 on his way down the floor. If he's giving me 28 and a half a game consistently and bringing the Dallas Mavericks to the NBA Finals last year, give the man his money. Pay this man his money. Like, pay him. Consensus. People believe the Lakers won this trade. And when only the Lakers, it feels like, at least that's a public perception, when only the Lakers have stuff like this happen to them, it gets to a point where if you're an NBA fan, and this is, again, right or wrong, this is the feeling of a lot of NFL fans right now. If it feels like, overwhelmingly, that one team has an advantage and is given gifts by the league that they play in, NBA, NFL, MLB, or whatever, if it feels like one team has such an advantage built in that no one else can even compete with them, what's the point of checking in for anything other than the playoffs at the most? That's why I said, I do think, and I could very well be wrong. And if I'm wrong, I'll come in here next week and I'll eat my crow. Medium rare, please. I believe there's going to be a slight dip in the Super Bowl this year in terms of viewership. I think there's going to be a slight dip. I think people are out. Not everybody. Not a massive amount of the viewing audience, but I think there are enough people that at least say that they're genuinely out of the Super Bowl as a punishment to the NFL. I think there will be a slight dip. Again, I could very well be wrong, but with the Lakers,
all right. How much is your slight dip?
2-3%.
Really?
Yeah.
That many, which equates to how many households?
4 million ish.
4 million.
Say 3 to 5 million.
Okay.
I'll say 3 to 5 million fewer viewers than last
year. And you'll be able to prove that those people have not moved to another way of watching it.
No. I mean, that's the thing is, I don't know that I will be able to prove a damn thing. Even if it is provable that they didn't just go watch it on a pirated stream on the internet, I won't even be able to prove that they bailed because of their problems with the referees. I'll hypothesize it. I won't be able to prove it. But the issue here is, regardless of how that works, it's a trust issue. It's a concern. And when the Lakers have stuff like this happen all the time, people get concerned. And I don't frankly think it's all that unfair, to be honest with you. Yesterday, I tried to play you some audio of Matt Rhule. I think I got it. Matt Rhule says no spring game for the Nebraska Cornhuskers upcoming because last time they did that, guys started ringing phone calls and making offers to his players. I'll say to Matt Rhule what I've said to Shane Beamer, what I've said to Dabo Swinney, what I've said to Billy Napier down at Florida, what I've said to a lot of guys. If you know that this is happening, to the point that you are comfortable grabbing a microphone and with your whole chest saying, this happened. Name names. Name names. Drop a name. What school? What school? What collective? What coach? What booster? What player? If you are unwilling to name a name when you claim that you have definitively experienced this, I have no reason to listen to you. I have no reason to believe you.
All right, this is a spring game, first of all. I don't know why you're getting all bent out of shape. It's a good move on his part. Don't televise it. Don't have one. I mean, make it a closed game. I know it hurts the fans. Make it a closed game and stop this stuff from happening. I mean, this is your product. You don't want anyone taking your product, so keep your product in-house and let the people see what the team is like when it's time for actual games and they pay for attendance. Spring games are just scrimmages anyway. They don't show really what they're going to do. I don't know that they really solve a whole lot. It's fan service. Take it away. Take it away from the people who want eyes on, who can't get eyes on closed practice to see, and we're talking about scouts and NIL people and whoever else. Don't give them a chance to look at your players. I think it's a good move, and it wouldn't shock me if eventually all spring games go away because of this.
It is. Let's start with this. It is a huge bummer to fans. Huge bummer to fans. Spring games are, as you pointed out, they're fan service. They're an opportunity for the fans to feel like they're getting an opportunity to experience their team in their facility when it's only them. It's a coming together of the family. I get it. Whatever. That old angle, that's up to you to decide if you're mad about it or not. What I am jumping at here is not their concern over doing or not doing a spring game, whether or not they're going to invite fans in, whether or not they're going to televise it, any of that. If you are making accusations that other organizations are improperly contacting your players and making them offers, name them or stop.
I don't think he said improperly. He just said contacting. There's no regulation, so how would it be improper for an NIL person to go, hey, if you come down here, we'll pay you more money? I mean, how do you stop that?
I believe that at that point on the NCAA calendar, that is not permitted at that point.
But NIL is not regulated, right?
NIL, contact is still regulated.
From
when
NIL,
and where you can make phone calls is still regulated.
That would be controlled by the school, which would mean that the school has control of NIL, which means the school is paying players.
You just, what? What? I don't understand that. We'll come back. We'll get back into that. Got a few more clips to play before we get into the final hour of the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Running through some of the audio we picked up from the last day. We talked earlier, we talked last week. I talked about it earlier this week when the National Football League sent out their VP of something, something, something. Kimberly Fields Esquire. I don't know why I remember her name, but not her title. Probably because she ticked me off.
By the way, I was right. Kimberly Fields was on Facts of Life. But
there you
it's
go.
Probably a different one.
I'm assuming so.
But that's who I see in my mind doing all this stuff.
Kimberly Fields Esquire.
I think she was Tootie, maybe. I could be wrong.
Couldn't remember if you paid me to.
I think it was out before you were born. So
that's probably why I can't remember. Kimberly Fields Esquire is the NFL's vice president of some. And Kimberly Fields Esquire was asked if the National Football League is any closer to utilizing technology to measure first downs. And Kimberly Fields Esquire said to journalists she does not believe that the technology exists in a way that it could fully remove human elements, aka incorrect calls, from the game. Well,
Your pauses made me think you were pushing a button and technology not working would have been hilarious. But
it would have. But see, it did. Because when you put time, energy, and effort into R&D, humans come up with some pretty cool stuff, man. Pretty, pretty cool. The commish is down in New Orleans, Louisiana for the Super Bowl. Super Bowl licks. And the commish was asked the same question. And he came up with this. Suck it, Kimberly Fields Esquire. Roger the Ginger Hammer Goodell has at least for one day lost the that I regularly put on his name.
All right, so let me get this right. So if he agrees with you, he's not a clown, but all the other times he is a clown.
Yeah, no ball.
Okay, so during that time, the makeup's off.
Broken clocks are right twice a day. We know that. Raj is having his broken clock moment. He said, look, we're experimenting with it. We haven't dialed it in just yet. There's a lot of variables, including human interest, that go into this, which, yeah, we know. I mean, you're making a massive change. I get it. But he said that they are working on it and they do believe the technology exists and that it will likely be out in the next few years. Now, I'm going to say something that kind of is going to sound contrary to everything I've said so far. I, against my better judgment, am going to believe on a face level Roger Goodell here. Oh, I know. I never do that. I don't want to do that. I don't like doing that. But for right now, in this moment, because not doing that will drive me insane, I'm going to elect for this one time, Raj, in this one time only, I'm going to elect it to believe that you're being upfront and open and honest and genuine with us. I'm not saying you are or you are not. I'm saying for right now, I am going to trust that you are, frankly, because I don't really have any other option. I got one more for you. We got about 5 minutes left. It might take this much time to break down this clip. Former, and I suspect will again soon be, WWE superstar Omos. Now, if you don't watch wrestling, Omos is a Nigerian-American who stands about 11 and a half feet tall. He is, and I think this is the correct term, Lonzo, bigger than Hale.
That sounds like something coined by McAfee, but yes.
Yeah, that's what they used to say back where I was from. That boy bigger than hell. Omar's bigger than hell, boy. He's a big old sum biscuit, is what he is. It is very well known that when professional wrestlers are out on the road, as they regularly are, making their way from one destination to the next for the next show, one of the places that they traditionally like to stop, and who can blame them, is the old Waffle House. It's not a Waffle House. It's a Waffle Home. Omos, was doing an interview and was asked a very important question. What's your go-to Waffle House order? And this was his response. This past Saturday, when we were watching the Royal Rumble, myself, Jackie Baby, Joey B, the boys, as we were watching the Royal Rumble, there was a spot in the Rumble where we kind of had, with Penta and Ray coming out earlier and some of the young cats coming out, we kind of had a spot where the ring was predominantly filled up in the Royal Rumble with smaller guys and younger guys. And I said to Joey B, I said, do you know whose music could hit right now and it would be awesome and they would be in a perfect spot? Omos. Omos could be, has it been, could be, frankly, should be booked as the one thing that I think WWE is missing right now, which is, while Bronson Reed is down, which is a monster.
Braun Strowman, dude.
Yeah, but Braun's playing kind of a face role right now. I need a bad guy monster. I need a terrifying monster. I need a monster that when he goes into the Rumble, all of us go, literally anyone in there could get tossed right now.
I would say anybody. I would say Obafemi, but he's not as big as those guys.
He's not.
But his persona is the same.
It is, but it is something different when Omos gets in there and he takes his hand and he palms a dude's face like a basketball. Right? Like, we need that
like,
heel
like
mega
friend
heel.
Of the show, Paul White used to do.
Correct. So I said to Joey B and Jackie, baby, you know who could get super over in this exact moment? Omos, a guy that I think had the opportunity to be an absolute dog. And unfortunately, because of the old administration, just never really got that shot. Right? That, I guess he did for a little while with, he wasn't with Heyman. Who was he running around with for a hot minute?
MVP.
Yes, with MVP. I think that would have been a good spot for him. I'm not saying that I'm going back on that belief right now, but I'm thinking about it. With all due respect to the IHOP, with all due respect, because the IHOP's fine. The IHOP's fine.
Yeah, I don't have respect for it either. If I eat at either place, I'm probably going to be sick for a couple of days. So, and it has to do with grease and how I don't eat that kind of grease anymore. So,
the IHOP is fine. If I'm with a group of people and they want to go to an IHOP, I'm not going to say no. I'm not going to be like, go anywhere.
By the way, their pancakes are good. I'm not going to, the pancakes.
The IHOP's fine. There's nothing special about it. And I say this again, with all due respect to the IHOPers out there, it's fine. The Waffle House. There's something special about the Waffle House. There's something special. It's not a Waffle House. It's a Waffle Home. There's something special about the Waffle House.
Yeah, they have real tiny booths. Is this the people who go there are that small?
That.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
Is so that you can be closer to the people that you love because the Waffle House is a place of love.
You need some of that old grease to get yourself into them booths.
The Waffle House is a place of admiration. It is a place of love. It is a place of dedication and skill and talent of some excellent chefs in the kitchen.
And very little teeth.
There is no world in which IHOP is better than the Waho. There's just not. I like Omos. I'd like to see Omos back in the role of just big badass who picks up people by their head and throws them into different zip codes. But no. IHOP is for people who go, I'm too good for the Waffle House. The Waffle House is beneath me. You must be drunk if you enjoy the Waffle House.
There was a key right there. I didn't catch that before. So that's where the
Listen.
All right. So that's the part that got you.
Don't get me wrong. No, the whole thing got me. Don't get me wrong. I absolutely appreciate the Waffle House more. After about 7 Jack and Cokes down at the local dive, I pop into the Uber and head on down to the Waho and let some chick named Brittany, missing a couple of her front choppers, whip me up a big ham and cheese omelet, extra cheddar with white gravy and sausage on top.
Does she say, here you go, oh baby, baby?
Here you go, darling. No G on the end. Just a darling. And if you're telling me that Brittany at the Waho whipping you up a couple of eggs into a ham and cheese omelet, throwing some white gravy, hitting you with that apple toast with the raisin butter on the side, and when she sets the plate down and she looks you in the face and goes, here you go, darling. If that doesn't make your heart flutter, you ain't got a heart.
I get off it too, sugar.
I'm not saying it's never happened. All right? I'm just saying, if that's not the best feeling in the world, I don't know what it is.
It's not the best feeling in the world.
You knock back 6-7 Jack and Cokes. You get to thinking deeply about life. You head to the Waho. Brittany hooks you up with her special, with that ham and cheese omelet, smothered, covered, and topped. Little hash brown on the side, white gravy to knock that bag, couple of sausage patties on the side, and a nice little Diet Coke in the glass.
Yeah, that balances out right there. I get that I've never drank before, so I don't know that feeling that you're talking about. Maybe your perception is muddled to a degree that makes you think something tastes better than it does. Have you ever went there like clean and sober? Like at noon?
Yeah, the lady and I order a Waffle House every now and then right from the house. It's right down the street.
Do you just get a waffle though?
No, I actually don't get waffles from the Waffle House.
That's kind of weird.
I keep leaning on the omelet because that's my go-to. I'm a Wahoo ham and cheese, extra cheese, ham inside the omelet, white gravy and mushrooms on the top.
Do you ask them when the last time they changed grease was?
I don't care. I've never cared. If you're eating at the Wahoo, you don't care.
I mean, I guess that's a good point.
If you have decided that at this moment in my life, my best option is the Wahoo, you're not going, I wonder how their grease is today.
All right.
You're going,
I don't know whose voice
grease
you're imitating,
it up.
But you have a great point there. I'm not recanting, but I'm backing off.
Every point I have is a great point, especially when it comes to this. Omos, I'm pulling for you. I think you're a star. Can't wait to see you back in the big leagues. You are wrong about this. You kept going about the grease. I'm defending the honor of the Wahoo and Brittany, the waitress. The Rob Brown Show, Sports Flash.
Wow. I was supposed to... Deep breath. The AP Top 25 College Basketball Poll was released yesterday with Auburn and Duke retaining their spots atop the list. Alabama, Tennessee, and Houston round out the top five with Florida climbing to six and Iowa State falling to eight with a pair of losses in the last week. Kentucky is 14, two-time defending champion. UConn are 19, and Clemson failed to climb into the top 25. I'm picturing Brittany in my mind. It's not a good thing. Phil Mickelson will miss the LIV Tour season opener with an injury sustained during training. Mickelson said he expected to compete next week after straining his shoulder while lifting weights. I mean, you're pumping iron sometimes, trying to get swole to get out there on the links. You hurt something. Tune in tomorrow night at 6:30 as the Furman Paladins take on the Western Carolina Catamounts. It's Furman versus Western Carolina right here on your home for Furman Paladins basketball. The Fan, Upstate.